Welcome to Dayspring Church Podcast. As you listen, you may want to take a moment to pause and reflect on what God is highlighting for you.
So thank you. Thank you for making the opportunity to be here today. And I'm just looking forward to what God wants to do with us. Last week, I was watching, actually, as you had Maddie and Evan here, and I too was blessed. I mean, when you had that time at the end where there was obviously, I couldn't see, you mentioned the word encounters happening, and I couldn't see all of that, but I could see what was happening and what was unfolding, and just loved the interview and all of those things that were unfolding. You could really sense God's presence. You know, we may be in Texas, which is a whole interesting world to live in. America is an interesting world to live in. But mind you, I watch your news as well. I keep up to date with what's happening here. And I think we live in an interesting time, don't we? And so I want to pick up a little bit and move on, not add to really anything that Maddie and Evan were saying last week, because they did so well. It was just wonderful. I was so encouraged. I felt like being saved all over again, actually. It was just so good. So I was blessed by that. But I want to take it on a little bit because, let's face it, we are living in a world where there's a lot of chaos. We're living in a world where people are tending to be more and more suspicious of each other. We're living in a world where there's so much contention, where I feel like there's very little curiosity as to where people are coming from. We seem to quickly form our own opinions and our judgments and then react. And I'm not just talking about the non-Christian world. I'd actually like to put the challenge into our Christian world as to how we may have come to good conclusions, but are we willing to be still curious and come from a heart of love with those that are different to us? And so I want to explore a little bit. I actually want to pick up on the fact that I loved it last week of picking up on that sense of we do, as God's people, we do sit almost like, as it were, on a gold mine of something that is so valuable for the world out there. But if we're trying to thrust it on them, they're actually not going to receive it. What they will receive is our judgment. But the other side of it is, and I think, Aaron, you used the word this morning, there were these moments of last week of you having encounters. What I don't want, I'm going to talk to some of you younger ones, what I don't want is you to have an encounter that next year, say 10 years from now, you talk about, remember that time when Maddie and Evan were here, and wasn't that a wonderful time of encounter? I love encounters, and I've had some amazing encounters with God. I know when I got healed of Lyme disease, sitting down here, nobody knew it, and had Lyme disease for 50 years, and I had an encounter with God and was dramatically, miraculously healed in a moment. It was a God encounter. But that was 2015, 10 years ago. What a pity it would be if my current testimony is to say, oh, wow, 10 years I had this amazing encounter with God, when actually his invitation is that we live in encounter. And so I want to pick up on that today, that if you're living in an encounter, it may look very different. What happened when I was healed of Lyme disease is very different in many respects to the daily encounter, but it's the same one that I'm encountering. And as it was mentioned, it was something like 34 years ago that we planted the church. And I'm so incredibly grateful that I'm still as much or more than in love with him and fired up for him, even though physically I may be not quite as energetic as I was back then. What my heart is for you is that 30 years on from him. You are so living in the presence of his reality with you day by day. The encounter that is ongoing and may look different from day to day, that you are still as fired up for him in his presence, that your joy and your enthusiasm and, more importantly, your love for other people does not in any way diminish. So, Holy Spirit, we just invite you here. We just love your presence. We thank you for what you were doing last week, but we thank you for this moment today. We thank you for what tomorrow will be and what Wednesday, and in the middle of challenges that we may not know, you are as ever present in those situations as you are right now in this moment. And so we invite you, Holy Spirit. We know that you are here, but we open ourselves up to the more of you that at times we've, because of our small expectation, we haven't realized that the bigness of the gift that you're offering us of your presence to walk with us every moment of the time. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So in a time of the world where we're living, where there's a lot of fear and suspicion, where there's a lot of urgency and there's insistence of strong opinions, I want to just start with a verse that Jesus said and pick up on that and then continue that theme. In John 16, verse 33, he said, "I've told you these things," and keep in mind, this is just before he goes to the cross. "I've told you these things so that in me you might have peace." And I'm afraid that sometimes when we read that, we read it as if I'm giving you peace. That actually isn't what he's saying. He says, "In me you might have peace." He's not just giving you peace and then you walk on your way with a thing of peace. He's saying, "I'm giving you me, and in me you will walk in peace." And he goes on, which, you know, we might think, well, if he was saying this back then, how much would he say it now? "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world." And so today I want to pick up this gift that he's offering you of himself that will manifest itself in you in peace in the most troubling of times. He's not asking you to have the answers for the world. He wants you to know you have him who is the answer for the world. You haven't got to get all this information and facts. I remember when I was quite young, and you know, I grew up in a, you know, my parents loved Jesus and it was good, but there was a degree of legalism and religious ways of doing things. And I remember thinking as a young child and as I became a teenager, well, once I've got all the facts, and maybe have, you know, underlined my Bible appropriately, which I have to admit I never really got round to doing adequately. But once I've got all this information, then I will be this for God. What I didn't realize, the tragedy of it, was that I had him. And that is actually what I needed. And he would lead me into all truth and give opportunity for that to be given out. And so, right here and now, I'm going to pause for just a moment and again say, Holy Spirit, the one that Jesus said you would be, the one that would come and be for us that presence of Jesus, we welcome you into our lives so that from this moment on, we walk in the reality of peace because it is your presence in our lives. We just receive that. We breathe it in. We breathe you in as part of the fabric of our being. And I think part of what Jesus was trying to say to them, if we're walking in that sense of peace, we will also know the difference between what it is to walk in that peace and what it is to walk in fear. Because as Jesus was saying, there may be lots of trouble in the world, but take heart because I've overcome the world. Fear will show itself, it will manifest itself in ways of not just the worry and concern and the anxious heart, which can be part of it, but also a drivenness. And even in our Christian life, we can be motivated by the urgency of things because this world is not good, and we have an urgency that drives us rather than a peace that allows love to be able to so impact those around us that they are drawn. There's a very difference between when we are driven and when we're being drawn by the Spirit of God, and people actually are attracted to that. So I want to pick up on a few old stories from the Old Testament of just the sense of God with his people. Keeping in mind, when we look at the Old Testament, we look at those stories through, as it were, the lens of where we now live in New Covenant, and Jesus has been to the cross. Back then, they had the times and the specific people, like a priest or the king, that would have the Holy Spirit come, and there would be the revelation through a prophet. We now live with that, all of us having that all the time. But sometimes I'm challenged by the fact that I look back at some of those Old Testament stories and I'm thinking they were walking sometimes with a reality of God with them that we've lost, when we should be having actually that in the bigness of it, because the Holy Spirit is with us all. And so I want to encourage you with a couple of stories of just when they were starting to take their promised land. We have a land that God has promised, and he's asked us to participate with him to see good news. And the world is desperately in need of good news. We have good news. I love and I'm going to be picking up on just a couple of stories from Joshua. And I love the fact that, you know, Joshua, actually one of the things I really like about Joshua is he was 85. I'm not 85, in case you wondered. I'm not there yet. And I say that because the enemy, in taking the inheritance that God has for you to take, will find all sorts of reasonable ideas and speak something that would exclude you from taking the promises and picking up on the promises and seeing you walk into the inheritance that God has talked to you about. And it's an example. Joshua being an example, it could be an example for us of how that would happen. Oh, Joshua, you're 85. You should stand back and you maybe pray and encourage from the back. When he was called by God to lead the people into taking their land, he needed to be hearing from God what his role was. If God was saying to him, you are a bit old and a bit frail and, you know, you're not doing so well, I want you to step back and pray, then that's the best place he could have been. But that actually isn't what God had put on his life. What was on his life at the age of 85 was to take courage and to be bold and to physically lead the people into taking their promised land. So if the enemy is coming, when God's given you a promise and God's spoken into you, and the enemy starts to come with what seems to be reasonable disqualifiers for you, please don't listen to him. We need to be so aware of the, as Jesus said, my presence with you that will give you peace, that we feel peaceful, as it were, at 85, taking on a role that in the natural would seem a little bit daunting, at least, or contradictory to what is the normal. We've got to be hearing from him first so that then we know where we move. Stepping back and being and praying something in, if God is on that, is the best place we could be. But it's not the best place we could be if God is saying you are to be the one to lead and actively move forward, because he empowers what he places on your life. I could leave it there, but I have more words to say. Joshua, in terms of going in, yes, totally encouraged to take courage. It's an interesting thing. I like this from Brian Simmons, says this at the introduction to the translation, the Passion Translation from the book of Joshua. And he says this, walled cities and fierce enemies are no match for the living God. That's something that we just have to know is a truth in our lives. And we look back and we think, yes, a walled city of Jericho. We have our so-called equivalent of that in our day today. And in the promises that God has given you, the things he's called to you, there will be the equivalent of your walled city and fierce enemies that would want to be rise up and appear daunting and make the task impossible. We have to know that walled cities and fierce enemies are no match for the living God. Agree? It's a given. You've got to say yes to that first. We've got to say yes to that first, not to the, oh, but I'm 85, or whatever it is that he's saying. And it could be, oh, but I'm only 15, I can't do it yet, or I have this issue or this problem or this. I've got other things that I have to do first. We've just got to come to this, and with what God is putting in front of us and placing on our hearts and empowering us for, giving us confirmation for, we've got to say this looks daunting and maybe impossible with all the things going on in my life, but what God says comes first. And then from there, other things will flow. But the other part that is interesting that Brian Simmons says in this, but it would still require a faith-filled people to move in and possess what God had given them. And there, this is where we need to be aligning. God's given us promises. God's given us an inheritance. God has put within us the good news. He stirred you up for the knowing that you're carrying something that is pure gold for a people that are desperate for good news. And we've got to know that God is on that, but then we've also got to align ourselves with God, because he is still requiring a faith-filled people to move in and possess. They didn't stand back and just say, oh, wow, this is our promised land. This is fabulous. We're going to sit down, have a drink and have some food, and we're going to have, you know, happy songs, and then we'll just see all those enemies. They had to walk with God, participate with God, align themselves, many times recalibrating themselves to be in line with what the Spirit was doing and moving with him to take hold of the promises that God was giving them. So a couple of quick stories as they go in. And I kind of find it interesting that they come in, you know, they've told all those words of, you know, take courage. You know, it's a challenging time, but take courage, which really is take hold of me, God is saying to them. Take hold of me, because I'm full of courage. And so the words of be strong and be brave, do not yield to discouragement, I'm your God. But keep in mind when it says that from Joshua 1 verse 9, where he's saying to them, you know, be strong, be full of courage, be brave. But he also adds, and it's added to us, I will be with you wherever you go. And if that was the case in Old Testament times, how much more is it now when you have the Holy Spirit with you, in you, empowering you, walking with you every moment of every day. I will be the God who will be with you wherever you go. And they didn't always get it right, but he was still the God who was with them wherever they went, even in their not so glorious moments. So they come to Jericho and God gives them instructions and they follow it through implicitly. They do exactly what he says to them to do, and they see an amazing victory. Not only do they have the city, but it is so visibly obvious that something amazing is happening, that word of that goes out to all the nations that are around. And And keeping in mind, by the way, with Joshua leading this, he was 85. In 7 years under Joshua's leadership, they took seven nations of that then known world. So he really had taken on this, I'm going to take courage, I'm going to be brave, and I'm believing with assurance and confidence that God will be true to his word, which was, I will be with you wherever you go. And so they take Jericho, and it's wonderful. And not only are they rejoicing in it, but, you know, the things that God said, I don't want you to take this, I want you to do it this way, they did it. And out of that, they're full of confidence, full of boldness, taking on courage. Okay, we've taken this one area, now let's move on to our next. And they go on to into Ai, which was actually not as formidable as Jericho. And so out of the success of where they were, the confidence that God has called them to this, they go into Ai expectant of a great victory, and they have a terrible defeat. And they're stepping back and realizing that while they picked up on boldness and courage, unless they walked in step with the God who was empowering them, they deviated from God's plan and end up with a disaster. And yet God was so incredibly gracious. Not only did he show them where they'd gone astray, he didn't load upon them a condemnation that then said, oh, well, okay, we got that victory, but we've now failed so terribly that we'll back off now for X amount of time until we kind of, you know, make up somehow. No, that actually, this is what God says to them. Keeping in mind, out of their decision to go just in their own strength and what they thought they knew of God, they'd gone from victory to disaster and defeat. But yet in coming to God, they hear again from God, which, by the way, is a key. And God says to them, even in the time of failure, Yahweh says to Joshua, do not yield to fear nor shrink back because of Israel's failure. Now get up, take all your soldiers with you and march against Ai. See, I have handed over to you the city, the king, his people, and his land. And then they saw a great victory. What I love about this situation is that, number one, it reminds me, walk in step with God. What I've seen here in my life God do in this area, he may be still wanting the same victory, but the way he goes about it could look quite different. And if I'm just going on what I've known of him of yesterday or the day before or last week or back when this was happening, I miss the subtle sense of where he's saying, no, this time we're going here. And if I'm walking in step with him, if you are walking in step with him, you'll be sensitive to what may seem like a subtle shift, but it makes all the difference in terms of the result. So they came back into that place of, oh God, we just so got caught up with doing wonderful things for you, for which God did not condemn them. But we're sorry, we just kind of went on a roll without realizing that if I'm walking in step with you, I'll know whether to go to the left or to the right or what it is that you're saying. And so I would say, even from your enthusiasm, which I absolutely applaud from last week, make sure day by day You're walking in step with you. I've learned over the years now, and it's my way. I'm not saying it's a formula. I'm not saying it's the way you should do it, but it's illustrative of a walk with God, is that I will, for myself, when I wake up in the morning, first thing in the morning, before my head has gotten into gear and I've come up with all my great plans of how to accomplish what God's put on my heart for Him, before my head and my mind and my soul is fully engaged, I'll just pause and say, Holy Spirit, what do you know about today? Is there anything you want to tell me about today? I just want to walk with you today. I'm not looking for information. I'm pressing in for a relationship. I'm not at that time before I get up, asking God to give me the to-do list. Because in John, he's quite clear that he doesn't give the to-do list. He wants to walk in step with you so that you understand what's going on and you walk naturally. When you're walking in step with somebody, if they're moving because of a pothole in the road, you'll go with them. You'll just see it. You'll feel it. You're not even thinking about it. You're not consciously doing it. You're walking in step with somebody. That's what he's invited you into. And that's what they missed here. And yet God took it. And out of that, once they recognized, oh God, we were on a roll for you, but we missed it. We're sorry. And he says, okay, I don't want you now living in the shame of this failure. I want you to recognize what happened, but recognize it as an invitation to walk in step with me. And now let's go and take that city, that whole area for God's kingdom, because it's already got my name on it. But let's do it together. And so he's not going to allow them to sit. That's where the enemy would want to come in and put in condemnation. And we're told there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. That verse is telling us there is no condemnation even when you make a failure if you are in Christ Jesus. It's not saying if you are in Christ Jesus, you will never make a failure. It just says there's no condemnation because he wants to walk in step, and his understanding of our frailty and our weakness and our humanity, and he's going to say, hey, let's get back in step and walk this together, because through you, just like here with the taking of Ai, do not yield to fear. Do not shrink back because of a failure. Get up, go in and march, because I've got this city. Amazing God, isn't he? Amazing God, how loving and gracious and kind. God could take those places. He could take our land now, but he wants to walk with you, not because you're perfect and got your act together. Believe me, If you want to work for God and be used of him when you get your act together, you'll never get there. So why not just go with him now? And what's more, the joy of walking with him is everything. It's everything. See, the part of the reason why I do that thing in the morning is not because I want to do great exploits with him. I just know that every day with him is wonderful. And sometimes it's not until later at night that I reflect back on the day and I think, oh, wow, look what happened there. I had a girl across the road that I've gotten to know. I decided when we moved into this small community that we're in to join a women's book club. And mostly a lot of them are younger, and it's a mix of age. And there's a girl across the road who I've gotten to know quite well, and she's got a little boy, and just a little while ago, she just said to me, oh, Narelle, there's just some stuff in my life. Could you come over and talk? And we went and had coffee, and we got together, and we talked. And then that was back a few months ago. And then just recently, there were three or four of us getting together for coffee, and she said, oh, she alluded to this time. She said, oh, I asked Narelle to come and I talked through, and there were some significant issues that she was talking through. You know, what I'm trying to say is when you're walking in step with God, you don't even realize how he's using you. Because you're not looking to be good and great and wonderful and have amazing stories of what God has done. It's just you're being the person through whom he flows and people being touched and healed. And sometimes we have the joy of knowing that and we have a great testimony to be able to share. Don't underestimate the testimonies that you can't share, but through which God used you to do amazing things and bring healing and touch and change into people's lives that you may never know about. But what we're confident about, just like Joshua was encouraged, is that we're walking with him. Therefore, we know that if I'm walking into a place, I am bringing the presence of God, and the presence of God is empowering and powerful and able to change things that nothing else could. Don't underestimate what is flowing through you and out of you in the most mundane of situations. One more story with the Israelites here. And I love reading it because it's so encouraging for the way we have our ups and downs. Not long after they had, you know, they had great victory in Jericho, they had a bit of a failure, but then they get another great victory with Ai eventually. And then they have some people come and have a chat to them, and they'd been travelling for a long way, their food was mouldy, their clothes were all ragged, and they said, you know, we live a long way off and we've heard all these big things that are happening, and so we would just like to have a talk with you, and, you know, we live a long way away, so we're not in your area. And unfortunately, Joshua and the people believed them. And could we sit down and could we just make a peace treaty with you? And they were deceiving. They actually were very close by, but they were making it act. But they were coming out of fear and saying, could we make a peace treaty with you so that you don't come against us? And then after making the peace treaty, because it says in Joshua 9, verse 14, the leaders of Israel ratified a peace treaty with the Gibeonites by sharing a meal together. And then it was revealed that actually they were actually part of the environment that they were in. They were actually one of the nations that God wanted them to take over. And it says here, I'll read the verse from the beginning again. The leaders of Israel ratified a peace treaty with the Gibeonites by sharing a meal together, but they failed to consult with Yahweh. And so they just had this experience out of Ai, and it was like, oh, wow, God, you've been so gracious and forgiving to us, and then we've gone and seen a great victory, and yet they did it again. And yet God still uses them and doesn't condemn them. He points out what went wrong, and there were some consequences that flowed from that, but he pointed it out but re-established them again so that they could take on and keep on going and actually take the land. And in the interesting thing, their mistake to make a peace treaty with the Gibeonites, and yet a little while later, the Gibeonites, who were being attacked by the Amorites, I think, I think it was Amorites. They call on Israel and say, hey, you know, remember, we've got a peace treaty. And even if we were deceptive in getting it, we still have it. And the Israelites were people of their word. They honoured their word. God wanted them actually to honour their word, even though they'd gone about it all in the wrong, you know, it was a wrong way. But God still honoured that. And it says here that, you know, in spite of them doing things the wrong way, they ended up going and supporting the Gibeonites in defeating the Amorites. And I'll read a couple of verses from Joshua chapter 10, chapter 10 to 10 and 11. Joshua inflicted a crushing defeat on them at Gibeon, for Yahweh threw the Amorites, notice Yahweh, God, threw the Amorites into a panic at the sudden sight of Israel's army. Yahweh empowered Joshua and his army to chase them in the direction of Beth Horon ascent, and they slaughtered the king's armies. So here you've got, even though there'd been a mistake, you've got a people who come back and say, but God, we really want to walk in relationship with you. There's forgiveness and there is ongoing empowerment even in the messiness and the consequences of having to walk this through. Not only does he empower them for the victory in their support of the people that they needed to honour for their peace treaty, but it goes on and it says God empowered them as the Israelites. And as the Amorites raced down the hill, Yahweh hurled large hailstones on them from the sky. So not only did the Israelites actually demolish it, but God came in on top of that. And it says here, the hail continued to fall all the way to Azekah. In fact, more men died from Yahweh's hailstones than by the swords of the Israelites. Don't ever let the enemy come and say, because you made a mistake and a failure here, that God is no longer with you. You may have been weak. You may not have been very courageous. You may have walked in what seemed right, but you didn't consult with him. And I'm not encouraging you to do that, obviously, because my whole thing is walk in step with him. But please keep in mind, even when you make a mistake and there is a seemingly big failure, he has ways and means to overcome that for those of us that have a repentant heart. And who more than anything want to desire, have a desire, I may be making mistakes, God, but I so want to walk in step with you. And he comes back in the midst of their mistake. Not only did he empower them to take on the Amorites, but he came in with supernatural deliverance and put all these hailstones flying around and it obliterated the army. Don't underestimate. You know, God is choosing to work with people who haven't yet got their act together. All he's wanting is for you to say yes. Not just yes. Yes is good. But it's not a yes that says yes to you, God, and then runs on your own way. But it's a yes that says, I want to walk in step with you. What today is on your heart, God? That way, you're going to sustain encounters for the next 10, 20, 30, 40. Let's face it, Joshua lived to 110. Why not? If God is on what he's doing. I just want to put it out, you know, when I was traveling, you know, from the time I left home to the time I've stayed the first few days with Brad and Eve. And I think by the time I got to their house, it was probably a good 24 hours. And I actually really needed my phone for communication and information. Important information, not just social media. Important things that I needed to know. It was important to be able to tell them where I was and what was happening and things like that. And the unfortunate thing with my phone was that I had to keep finding times and opportunities to plug it in. How wonderful would it be if this was so connected to a life force that I never had to plug it in? Unfortunately, as Christians, we often take opportunities and times to plug in with God when he's saying, I would like to walk it with you every moment of the day, and you are empowered, encouraged, built up, full of joy, receiving my love, and it will naturally flow out. It's what he's offering you today. He's not asking you to do things for him. That'll flow, it'll happen. But he's actually asking you for a relationship that will sustain you, for encounter, a life of encounter. I'm just going to be honest with you. Again, as wonderful as it was when I was healed, and it was an amazing encounter, and I've shared it so many times, and so many people have been healed and touched and blessed by that. But I was going to say I'm greedy, and yes, to an extent that's true. But I am expectant of having constant connection with God through the Holy Spirit. And it may look different every day. But I know that if you will walk in step with him, if you will consult with him, use whatever words you want to do, read through some of those things in John 15 where it talks about being connected in a way, and I'm going to finish with this because I think it just so expresses it so well in the John 15 verse 4 in the Passion Translation. You must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. I love that because it's what he wants even before what we want. I want to walk in step, and even if there are other mistakes, I want to, God, I want to walk in step with you. But you know, he's actually saying, he's saying, the great God of the universe is saying, I want to walk in step with you. He's saying that first before it's even coming out of your mouth to walk in. What an amazing God who loves you so much that could think of nothing better than to spend his time with you 24/7. And that would bring great delight to his heart. You do indeed bring great delight. You bring a smile to his face. He loves being in your presence. If we could have this amazing sense of the delight of his he has, and therefore the delight we have of being in his presence, we will walk so in step with him that we will also see the Jerichos and the Ais and the other nations, those kind of things, come into becoming the inheritance that God has promised for us. So I can commend nothing else to you today but to enjoy his presence. We do, in a way, have an urgency to see our world saved, but we need to step back from an urgency that makes us driven and having all the best answers to being saying, I'm so in love with Jesus, I can't help but want to be able to share that. I think it would make us more curious about what's going on in people's lives rather than being judgmental. I was reading recently how Jesus just found it easy, actually. He found it natural and he found it easy to sit down and have a meal with the people that in the religious culture he was in, that those people were either rejected or judged or criticised and kept at arm's length. I'm going to be a little bit straight, if that's okay. I think it's time as Christians we were known by our love. I think we've become so full of good convictions that we've become harsh in our judgment. I think love has a way of bringing order into people's lives that doesn't demand measuring up, but just brings the empowerment of the Holy Spirit into people's lives and change will happen. They're finding now through neuroscience that the best place for transformation is in an atmosphere of love. And in Christians, we've got it. We've got the answer. We've got the answer. The one that loves you so much can so transform your life in an atmosphere of love that you walking into a place can so bring love that there will be transformation. I'm going to invite you to stand. And what I want to ask you right now is not to lay down your convictions, but I'm going to ask you to open up your heart to the God of love that will so settle on you and in you and through you that what comes out of your mouth, what comes out of your demeanour when you are with people will be something that will draw people into life and not have them in any way feel condemned. I just stand in awe of a God who, in that Old Testament setting, when the Israelites had so messed up, you know, on a fairly quick occasion, Ai and then the Gibeonites. And yet God says, you know, don't sit in shame. Don't come in. You're my people. Let's go together with this. So Holy Spirit, we just ask you to be here. We welcome you. We want to align ourselves with you. And first and foremost, we just say, we want to align ourselves with you who are full of love. And out of that flows life. We want to be a people indeed, as the early Christians were, who were known by their love. And if transformation happens best in an atmosphere of love, may we be people who change the atmosphere wherever we go, because we are walking in. First and foremost, we're walking in having received much love. He who has received will also flow. And that which flows out of us is what is filling us. So I just thank you that in spite of our mess-ups, you've loved us incredibly. In spite of our failures, there is no shame. That you're not asking for perfection. You just want relationship. And so we just want to say to you, well, like a Joshua and a Caleb, we want to be in this for the long haul, God. We want to still have the enthusiasm for seeing your kingdom come and your will be done, like a Joshua did, who said, I'm ready to go at 85. So whatever we're at, God, we just want to say yes to you. But would you so touch us with who you are that we become that for other people? And when in the busyness and the overwhelm we mess up, we just want to come back quickly. We want to be people that, as it were, we consult with you, we talk with you, that we remain in life union with you, as is your desire to be in life union with us. We pray that as that comes, that you will touch every area of our being, body, soul, and spirit, transforming us and then releasing transformation to a world that desperately needs. Thank you that you called us to be your people rather than to be doers and have that as our focus. We want to be known as lovers of Jesus. So I just pray, Lord, that today we'll just sense your presence. That we'll start to grasp that you reveal yourself in different ways. And as Aaron said, what happened last week may be different to what happens today, but you're the same. We want to know the bigness of who you are and not confine you to just what we've heard about you or experienced on a given time. We want to know it and walk in it and be expectant for it and share it. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit, for every moment of the day. We thank you that it's that which is on your heart. And so our simple response is to say yes. And like the Israelites, be expectant that there is a land. There is the kingdom of God being established, and that you're participating with us to see your kingdom come, to see good news go out through Sydney, out through New South Wales, through Australia, that people will be surprised that God is so good as they see him and us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you were blessed. To find out what's happening in the life of our community, you can visit dayspring.com.au or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram.